Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The NFL is getting ready to kick off its first season with nationally legalized gambling. That's thanks to the Supreme Court ruling in May that paved the way for legalized betting on games. And now states are scrambling to open sports books. Mike Pesca is Here and Now sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Okay, there are a number of preseason NFL games tonight. Could anyone listening right now place a bet if they chose to?
Oh, yes. Well, first of all, everyone in Nevada for years could have done that. But now you could bet legally in Mississippi, in New Jersey. They have a few sports parlors opened, including one in the Meadowlands, though it won't be able to collect bets while the Jets and Giants are playing in that same complex. Mississippi, it's legal. West Virginia just opened a sports book, and NFL great Joe Theismann was on hand to place the first bet. That's a kind of trend. You open a book and you hire some former jock like Dr. J, place the first bet at the Borgata Casino in Atlantic City.
And is it a difficult rollout? I mean, how hard it is for is it for a state to roll out an entire book operation?
A bunch of these states, well, there's the legal aspect and then there's the financial aspect. A bunch of these states were ready to go when the Supreme Court made its ruling and essentially legalized gambling in the United States. And New Jersey was a plaintiff in that case, and that's why New Jersey has jumped on it early. Other states, Rhode Island, New York, Pennsylvania, they're interested and there are bills wending their way through those states. A bunch of states haven't taken it up and don't seem to be interested at all. And then there's the you have to partner with a company, or a company has to run the sports book. And so far, a couple of the companies that are very eager to do so are the fantasy football companies like DraftKings and FanDuel, and also some traditional casino companies are doing it too.
Now, that's a good point. You mentioned fantasy sports. How is legalized sports gambling likely to affect fantasy sports?
I don't know. I can't give you an answer on the likelihood. I don't know. Fantasy players don't know. There are a couple of minds as to this. As to the companies themselves, it will greatly help, and they are already reporting an increase in revenue because the fantasy sports companies have their fingers in the legalized sports book, which is, I don't know if you want to call it hypocritical, but for years, a company like FanDuel would say, we're not gambling, we're a game of skill. And then as soon as gambling became legal, they said, okay, at least part of us is gambling.
Yeah, they were quite ready for it.
Right. But there is a debate. Will it just increase the appetite for gambling, all sorts of gambling overall? Or will the ability to bet on a game with the point spread, will that sort of cannibalize and eat into the games where you pick individual players, which are daily fantasy sports? We don't know yet.
So Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, and Jerry Jones, who owns the Dallas Cowboys, are investors in DraftKings, the fantasy sports website. They stand to make money from sports gambling. Is that kind of weird?
It is weird, but remember, they invested in it when the league thought of fantasy sports as one of the reasons that people were still watching in an era when people weren't. So their investment in a company that was purely fantasy sports was more than countenanced by the league. I think many people saw them as on the cutting edge. Now that they have small stakes, maybe 5% stakes, in companies that get money from gambling, it is a little weird, but then again, if this is the world we're in, why the fig leaf? You know, why not just embrace it? The NBA has wanting to partner with gambling companies, and Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, is very much in favor of it. It seems that these two forward-looking owners are more in that camp.
Forward-looking, that's not kind of a slippery slope and the notion of conflict of interest?
Well, why would I suppose you could make the case, but they'd have no interest to, say, throw games, even though they're invested in a company that takes money on games. They would still hope that their teams would do everything to win and also that people would bet on games. Remember, if you're running the sports book, you don't make the money based on which team wins or loses. You make the money based on how many people are betting, and you take a cut of that called the VIG. So they just want more people to be betting on sports and also watching their own teams play.
I wonder what you think it's going to do for ratings for the NFL. Ratings have been down. We've talked a lot about that in the possible reasons. The national anthem protests, perhaps, concerns about concussions, players accused of domestic violence and other things. Do you think that the league sees legalized gambling as something that it really needs to generate more interest?
Well, they should, I believe. And I think that the NBA definitely sees that. It's a little bit of a different dynamic. The NFL, with their 16 games per team season, all those games are appointment viewing, whereas the NBA knows, look, we have 82 games. There are so many games that people might not have any interest in unless you could put a bet on it. It's a little different in the NFL. I do think of all the factors that you listed about why ratings are down, the number one is just that ratings are down on everything over the air. It's because of cord cutting. And people are just watching less TV. And then these other issues, maybe there is a very, very small factor. It wouldn't shock me if you have the president of the United States with his giant megaphone constantly denigrating the NFL for their kneeling an anthem policy, that could have a small effect on ratings. But it's basically we're just watching less stuff on TV. And I guess the idea is maybe if you can make some money off it, we'll watch a little more.
Listen to radio. Mike Pesca, Here and Now sports analyst. He's also editor of the new book, Upon Further Review, The Greatest What-Ifs in Sports History. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Lisa Mullins.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.